Just one. It might take you 10 years to master one thing. And meanwhile, you need at least 7 weapons to run your destiny. So 10 years, one. Another 10 years, another 10 years. By the time you have gotten 5, how many years now? Prepare, hand over to your children. You can go to heaven and say, Lord, I have tried. See the way I labored in Zambia. They will now show you your work. You will start crying. Now, listen to me. Some of the people, when they see us the way we labor, they think it's just, we don't compare with men. We compare with our assignment. So you can come and say, Apostle is doing well. In heaven, I'm not doing well. Because if you see the enormity, the weight of my assignment, you will start crying for me. So when you see somebody like me, you say, the way you prayed yesterday, why are you praying today? My assignment is heavy. It's heavy. Let's continue where we started. We stopped yesterday. Hebrews chapter 10. But I think, you see, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, 9, 10. All those chapters were not there before until AD 1500. It is scholars that put it there to help us to better understand, to better divide and comprehend the scripture. So many times, if you will read the Bible in such a way that you will grasp the topic, the message. So for you to properly understand what the part of scripture is saying, many times you might have to read a few more verses. And many times context can be lost if you don't give yourself to a few more verses. Sometimes you have to go one chapter. Sometimes you have to go the whole book. Books like the book of Ephesians, many times you will not fully grasp the message until you just read through Ephesians. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If you just want to read it like a novel, you can do it in 20 minutes. If you check the book of Ephesians, it's not up to 4 pages of the novel you used to read. You just that there is something about the flesh that is lazy around spiritual things. If not, it's not up to 4 pages. That 6 chapters is not up to 4 pages. You can finish it in 20 minutes. Just reading, not study yet. There is reading, study, meditation. Just read. And for you to get the contextual meaning of the scripture, you might have to read a few verses. So, chapters. Now, if you look at this Hebrews, you find out that the person writing the book of Hebrews is just flowing, is one letter. But even though it's one letter, there are chapters that are brothers and sisters. Chapter 9 and chapter 10 are the same thing. You will not get the full picture of chapter 10 until you go back to chapter 9. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Sorry I'm flowing like this, but that is part of my calling. My job is not just to teach. If it's just to teach, I didn't help you. It will take you sometimes 10 years to enter into what we are talking about. See, that's the mistake many people make. The apostolic brings to you possibilities. And the teaching is to help you understand what is happening, or to push you into what is happening. If all you bring is just a teaching, do you know how long it takes people to host realities in God? Just one. It might take you 10 years to master one thing. And meanwhile, you need at least 7 weapons to run your destiny. So 10 years, one. Another 10 years, another 10 years. By the time you have gotten 5, how many years now? Prepare, hand over to your children. You can go to heaven and say, Lord, I have tried. See the way I labored in Zambia. They will now show you your work. You will start crying. Now, listen to me. Some of the people, when they see us the way we labor, they think it's just, we don't compare with men. We compare with our assignment. So you can come and say, Apostle is doing well in heaven. I'm not doing well. Because if you see the enormity, the weight of my assignment, you will start crying for me. So when you see somebody like me, you say, the way you prayed yesterday, why are you praying today? My assignment is heavy. It's heavy. Okay. Strategy, prophetic strategy. There are three people here now. The Lord used to give you certain prophetic strategy. The prophetic strategy I'm talking about is not telling people. I'm talking about your life. Three people now. You used to hear God very clearly. Like you hear him, you can bet your life on it. Now, you are not sure now. There is another person, your dream is very sharp. You can't dream again. Your dream is scattered. Oh my God. As I pray now, those three people will be restored in the name of Jesus Christ. Restore them, Holy Ghost! Bring them for me. The Lord is restoring your strategy. You can't be blind. You can't make much progress if you are blind. You don't know exactly how God is leading you. If it was before, all your steps you are sure. And everywhere you are, if you feel you need to key into this word, you can pray and ask God, intensify my strategy in the spirit by granting me access to wisdom, revelations. Let my eyes, my ears see, my ears hear. Let's even use my dreams and visions. Speak to me clearly. Let your eyes and ears open. Let it 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 open. Lift up your hands and pray for 30 seconds, wherever you are. Please, there is something happening in the spirit. You are brought into an environment, an atmosphere. You can take advantage of it. Hey, Jesus. Just cushion them. Thank you. see, Jesus says something in book of John chapter 16 verse 12. Jesus said there, I have yet many things to say, but can you bear it? When I was younger in the faith, my prayer those days is, God, do this thing, do it. Until God showed me what it takes to carry divine realities, I changed my prayer point. My prayer point became, God, give me capacity. God is not unjust. Once you create room, he will fill it. Create room, he feels it. So many times, what you are carrying is based on your capacity. There are things that you will receive now, you can't shepherd it, you will lose it. It is capacity. If you are told the consecration of certain things that God can release in your life, you will choose not to have it. You can say, I will do it, until you find out you can't. Let's pray for 30 seconds wherever you are. Lord, give me capacity. Give me capacity. I sense that what is coming is heavy, Lord. Give me the capacity to carry it. If you are a sister here, pray. Yet many things. Grant us capacity. Grant us. Jesus. Pray more. Stand up and pray. Stand and pray. Pray more. In Jesus' name, be seated. Join me in 10 minutes. Check your time. There are several things that will be happening at the same time. If you are a young lady here, God came for you, especially if you are between the age of 15 and 25. There is something God will do for you. He said he doesn't want those young ladies in that age group to waste their years. But let's see the scripture. Oh my God. Jesus. Several things are happening. There is a group of people here. You will have encounter for 7 days. You don't. There are things, so. Some of you will say, let me sleep. When you sleep, it will seem as if an angel tapped you. Bam, and they will take you. When you wake up, finish tomorrow, they come again. When you wake up, they will do it for 7 days. Listen. I speak because God sent me. If you are intelligent, you will know that it's clear that God is doing something. Send me. Listen. after this meeting, for 7 days after this meeting, the heaven will be open over Zambia. Yeah. Now listen, this is what it means. It means that it is a Kairos moment in the spirit. Listen, be seated. Let me explain something to you. Listen, there is what we call time gates and gates of time. You see, time gates are related to Kairos, and gates of time is related to Chronos. That's not what I'm here to teach anyway. You know, when you say time, there are two Greek words for time. Number one is Kairos, the other one is Chronos. For example, when the Bible said in the book of Acts chapter 1 that Jesus came and told them that they asked him, when shall the kingdom of Israel be restored to them? They said, this thing you are asking is given to the Father. The time is given to the Father. That time is Kairos. The time and season given to the Father. That is like the maturity of pregnancy. Is like what the medical people call EDD. So within that frame, something can be born. If you pass that season, you might not be able to give birth to the same thing. Are you with me now? But there is Chronos too. And many times, what you are able to benefit from within the Kairos is dependent on your investment in the Chronos. Are you seeing it now? So somebody is waiting for Kairos. Kairos, you will miss it if you did not invest in the Chronos. So the Chronos is the day time. So your capacity to take advantage of the times and seasons of God is dependent on the investment you have made before that day appeared. Are you seeing it? You can't suddenly come and you can't do more. You know, there are people that say, when the time come, I will fast. When God shows me what, no, he will not show you. You keep fasting and praying when the time comes, whether you know or not. Your sacrifices in the spirit will compel you to the location of that encounter. Seven days. What you do with that 7 days is left for you. If I'm you, especially if you're a man of God or a young man of God, or you feel that there is something God wants you to do, I'm not saying you must do it. I'm just advising you. It's just advice. Nothing is composed. It's just advice. If you will take my advice, fast for 7 days, at least 6 to 6. Wait, don't clap. Just 6 to 6. Just fast. You will not die. I'm telling you, you won't die. I've tried it. I didn't die. I've fasted small, not much, with this my life. I've fasted small to have an opinion about fasting. And then, within that 7 days, do what we call night watches. Nights after me, night watches. That means, find a way. I know it's hard, but find a way to pray for 2 hours between 12 and 5 a.m. in that 5 days. You know, a young man, I don't know, some of these things I'm telling you is is strategic wisdom. It's not enough for you to know that God, I want to, you need to know what exactly do we need to. That's what I'm handing. I'm giving you blueprint. I'm giving you map. Of course, after this kind of thing, many people will still not do it. And they say, God of mercy, you remembered me. He will show you mercy. The mercy he will show you is that he will come again in the next 10 or 20 years. Or maybe 40 years. He's merciful. He's merciful enough to make you will now be behind the scene. You will not go to hell. You will not go to hell, but you will miss your destiny. You will see people doing what you were told to do. I hope you know that when God is telling you to do that thing, he told, what you didn't know is that he told another 100 people. I'm giving you a secret now. That time God told you, do this, he told another 1,000. As soon as you are missing your own, you see another person. You look at the person, this is what God told me that time to do. That's how God works. Because God cannot be stranded. Just because you refuse to do what you're supposed to do. Should God stop his project? In Jesus' name. Hebrews chapter 10. How I wish I have a projector. It will help me not to be climbing this stage. Maybe this my. Okay, let me stand here. Let me stand for at least 5 minutes. Amen. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10. We have read it the other day. Is it not true? For the law having a shadow of the things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make commerce thereunto perfect. So if you look at this scripture, it said, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things. Now, stay with the scripture. So can you see this scripture now? Remember, the scripture said that you are created in the image of who? Now, it doesn't mean you are the image of God. The image of God is Christ. You know, some people say, I'm the image of God, and you are not. It is not in the Bible. The image of God is Christ, but you are created in the image. Are you seeing it? I don't want to use the word duplicate, but it means that we got the first copy, and then from the first copy, we started mass producing that first copy. Are you getting the point now? Now, the reason why I read this to show you is that word image of things. According to the scripture, remember when we advance in that verse, he said, cannot make men perfect. It means that the spiritual things that make up image, are you getting it? The essence of that priesthood is to activate the image of things. Because the several impartation of those things contained in the image will bring you to perfection. See, perfection is what is retained in Christ. He is the image of God, and priesthood takes advantage of the image of things contained within that environment. Several layers of the impartation of the image of those things will bring you to an approximation where you retain perfection in the image. The image is Christ. Are you getting it now? So the man here in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 is saying that the purpose of priesthood is to activate the image of things. The things there. But he said that their coming yearly lacks the capacity to activate the image, that is just shadows. So instead of interfacing with the things that comprise the image of Christ, what we were chasing was shadows. At the end of the day, we were not able to get to the exact thing that was in the heart of God, which is perfection. And perfection is mirroring the exact thing that is in the heart of God. That is the image. The scripture said, growing into the fullness of the stature of who? Christ. That's where we are going. The scripture said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, he said, as we behold him like in a mirror, we are changed into the same what? That same word, image. From one level of glory to another level. The question now is, how does this work practically? It will mean that when you enter inside the expanse of Christ, because first of all, Christ is an office, but Christ is also a spiritual environment. So that is why the Bible says, he that is in Christ. So that word in Christ suggests to you an environment. Is it not true? A realm. But it is also an office. So in the context of administration, the Christ functions as the step down. That is, when I actually pray well, it means that the office of the Christ is functional. Anything you are able to do, whether in your calling as a believer, It is a testimony to the fact that the office of the Christ is functional, because that is the exact command tower of God. God centralized all his operation in that office. And that was what Peter was trying to say in the book of Acts chapter 2. When they saw the Holy Spirit being poured out, he told them in Acts chapter 2 verse 36, he said, "Know ye therefore now that that same Jesus that you crucified is now the Lord and the Christ." And the testimony to the fact is that the Holy Spirit is being poured forth. It means that there is an office that governs the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So when Jesus was coronated, that office was activated. So the administrations that we now see and interact with is a proof that there is a functional office that is in heaven. So the command tower in heaven and the one in your heart interacts. So when we pray, you hear we use the word gain ascension. What we are trying to say is, let the command tower, the operations and activities and functions of Christ within your heart meet up with the one happening in heaven. So that means there are two thrones, one in your heart, one in heaven. Is it not true? Many times, because of the flesh and the challenges that is found within the environment of humanity, it is mostly hard for you to meet up with what is happening in heaven. So many times when we come to pray, we say, "Help me, Holy Ghost." What we mean by that is, help us to gain ascension so that the functionality in heaven will become the functionality in my heart. Listen, follow me now. That we mean that any time a man prayed or lived the Christian life correctly, there is an administration from the office of the Christ. God does not have any plan for you outside of Christ. He doesn't have any plan. Are you getting it? Everything he will ever do, he did in Christ. Everything he will do through Christ. And that is why the scripture said that Christ is the sum of all spiritual things. So what God does is this. When you pray, and then your prayer will hit the command tower in heaven, the scripture said, come to the throne of grace and receive help in the time of need. When you come to that throne, you establish a connection and your petition will be received. They will check. Within that administration, the economy. You see, Zambia has an economy, is it not true? And every economy has a budget. So we cannot, even though in Africa they do it. In Africa, you can spend more than your budget. In heaven, they don't do it. So heaven has budgeted. Are you getting where I'm going? Heaven has budgeted what it will take for you to run your ministry. Heaven has budgeted what it will take for them to run the move of God in Zambia. Are you getting it now? That budget is what it takes to run the economy of God. And that economy is Christ. The economy of God is Christ. Are you getting the point? So for we to take advantage of that economy, we ascend the heights of Zion. The higher you ascend, the more you access greater things. If you want to access deeper and greater things, you keep ascending. Keep ascending. Keep ascending. Until you enter the top of the mountains of God. Oh! When you come there, when you speak, your voice thunder. The cedars of Lebanon will break into pieces. Because as of that point, you are not the one speaking. It was Jesus that said, "A day will come, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that men cannot gainsay." That is an oppression from a realm. The words that he was speaking was no more his words. There were days we were discussioner. But when a man appears in Zion, his utterance is the utterance of God. The oracles of God is flowing through his lips. The scripture said, "Let him that speak as the oracles of the living God." There is a height. And it is not just in preaching. When you pray in tongues, when you ascend, you know. Is it not true? There are days you start, you are doing shalabagalamagalamagada. Yalabagalamagada. Especially if you are a pastor, you now put hand in the pocket. It's not bad though, but you know, you are just around. Amen. Listen, it's not as if you are not praying. I'm not saying you are not praying, but you know, maintenance work. Say after me, maintenance. You know the way you wake up in the morning, you are checking your car for fuel, check the oil. That's what you are doing. So you see, you are doing maintenance. But when you want to top your fuel, when you want to change oil, when you want to change gasket and cylinder, you go deeper. Listen to me. Great things in God is not found on shallow places. If you consistently seek God in deep places, your life will change. I want to tell you something. There are several angels that is around this nation that their ministry has not been activated. The reason is because there is nobody that has gone deep enough to activate them. You will not even know that it exists itself. Meanwhile, their ministry is what it takes to shift the nation to the next level. I'm telling you what I know. We have there is a way you pray, you start appearing in courts in heaven. Start attending court sessions. You see, a judge in the spirit is somebody that has attended court sessions in heaven long enough that he is savvy with the justice system of heaven. So much so that heaven can trust him with jurisdiction in the realm of men. There is a way you interface in that court. You understand how God rules over things. So God delegates that rulership to you, at least to your family. So when a man comes and said, because I'm here, this thing will not happen. That is a judge. That is assuming if it happened the way he said it. Meanwhile, you might have said it, you don't know what it means. And because you don't know, you can have it today, tomorrow you can't have it. Next time it will happen. It's just happening by luck and by chance. You have not mastered the path. So after me, Lord Jesus, teach me the path of mastery. Mastery. So you can be seated. Checking that scripture, I think 10 minutes has passed. Even you were caught up in what? Man of God, there is fire in my bones. Is this stopping me? Sometimes it will not allow me to sleep. There is fire in my bones. It's disturbing me. There is fire in my bones. Smile and laugh like this is not laugh in the spirit. In the spirit is a roar, but physically is a laugh, but in the spirit is a roar. Go and ask demons. You can be seated. Let's touch one or two things. If you look at that scripture, you will find out that God has a target. That the reason why the former priesthood was done away with is because God's purpose is not being achieved. If you buy something or if you engage something and it is not achieving the result why you bought it, let's assume you bought a car. Every morning you start it, it breaks down. You start it breaks down. It keep breaking down. What will you do? You get rid of the car. It's not as if you hate the car, but I have something to do. It's not, are you getting it? This thing is no more serving. So in as much as God loved the law and the old covenant and his priesthood, he lacks the capacity to achieve the target that is in the hand of God. For several reasons. One of it is that the law was given to men in the flesh. But it is only spiritual men that have the capacity to keep the laws of God. Spiritual men. The more your spirituality is in the spirit, the more you are able to keep the laws of God. The scripture was telling us in the book of Romans chapter 8. He said that there is a law called the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. That law have the capacity to make you to live above the law of sin and death. Now, it did not say that the law of sin and death is abolished. It means that just because you are living above sin doesn't mean others are not struggling. But there is a law. It's a law. It's not arbitrary. It's a law. When you engage it, it works. I don't have time to teach you, because the law of life is not based on rules and regulation, but there is a regulation in it. It's a regulation after the organic nature. For example, you appear and God will tell you, stop social media for 3 days. Pastor will now go to church and say, tell every church member to stop social media. No. You are the one God told. Are you seeing it now? Based on the law of organic life, the law of life is teaching you how to conquer your situation. So several people, not understanding the law of life, they categorize everything into one. So somebody can come and tell you that this is what you need to do. Stop this one. You stopped it. It's not working. Many times what I do is to refer the people to the law of life that is at work in them that they ignored. Because the last time God spoke and walked within you well is the last time you obeyed him. Not just obey him. Obey him promptly and clearly. Are you seeing it now? So when you obey, for you, that is the demand it takes for you to walk in the glory of God. For another man is another thing. It's the law of life. So it's teaching you organically. So the teaching is subjective to your own context, so that the works of God in your life can prosper. For another man, it can be another. For another man, it can increase. Considering how much you have lived in the world, there are people that are fornicated. Hey! There are people that have drunk. See this alcohol. Alcohol possesses them. So when that person comes to Jesus and God is working in his life, now don't think that life will suddenly fly away. There are holes in your body that likes alcohol. You speak in tongues and come out, they are telling you, come. I'm telling you now. There are holes in your body that cigarette has entered. Now you join Jesus. When you smell the smoke, it is like a summoning. You are being summoned into the high chambers of cigarette smoke. That kind of person is not it. For him to walk in the newness of life, it will take more consecration and more rules after the law of the spirit of life for him to live in holiness than the person that has not even engaged in it at all. Are you seeing it? The demands for the person that has not engaged in it is different. Are you seeing it? There are some people, they don't even, if you tell them to fornicate, they don't even know how to do it because they have not done it before. But there are people that have done all styles. You now tell the person to live holy, As he's praying in tongues, his imagination, you are getting what I'm saying. His imagination is in at least 7 girlfriend houses. The styles that they used to have. He will come and say, Apostle, as I'm praying, my mind is you. You have invested your soul in many places. That kind of person, when he comes, I tell him, you need to devote 6 months to fasting. Just give your life to fasting. Wake up every day fast. Wake up fast. You know why? Even if we chase out the demon that is causing it, the soul has gates. The soul has wall. The wall of your soul is already weak. It is weak. Anything that lands on it falls down. When you give yourself to wordedness, to fasting and prayer, what will happen is that your soul will be rebuilt and fortified. Hallelujah. Are you seeing it now? And several people, when they come, they tell me they try and fail. They don't understand this thing. They want quick results. Meanwhile, you have stayed in that lifestyle for 10, 15, 20 years. And you want results in 2 weeks. It is not fair to the law of process. Because for God to do several things in your life, there are laws he has to obey. For him to do it in one moment the way you want him to do it, even if you are a minister of the gospel, you have nothing to preach to people if you don't learn anything with your life. Because you will tell them what is not working. But if you are passed through the process that liberates men from that kind of things, you will be able to dish out knowledge that is garnished with experience. There will be a spiritual history backing your statements and claims. If you're with me so far, say amen. Amen. Considering what the scripture said now in the book of Hebrews chapter 10, shall we read chapter 9? Sometimes, the scripture, when you read it, for you to see how the scripture is flowing, you might have to start from the back. Sometimes there are books of the Bible. The end of the book is the chapter 1. If you are studying the book, you look at it, you find out that the chapter 1 has told you everything. Then subsequent chapters is explanation of what chapter 1 said. If you are a good student of the Bible, you must have noticed it. Are you seeing it now? So what the writer will now be doing is to be going backwards towards what he already said. And that is what is in the book of Hebrews. If we go deep into the book of Hebrews, it's one of my favorite books because it is a book of priesthood. Every priest must eat Hebrews. From chapter 1, the writer began to utter deep things. It's a God who has sundry times and in diverse manners speak to our fathers through the prophets. It means that God is a speaking God. And in these last days, spoken to us through his Son. It means that the Son is the utterance of God. Are you seeing it now? It means that in the end of the times, that the project of God is Son-wise. That God walks in the direction of Son. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 10, and the scripture said, even until today, when Moses is read, representing or buttressing the fact that Moses is beyond a person, that Moses is a covenant in the spirit, and Moses is a representation of a way, a law in the spirit, and God has found out, or rather, God tested that mode. He actually wanted it to work, but it didn't work. And I told you people the few reasons why it didn't work. Number one reason why the old covenant didn't work is because it was given to the people in the flesh, but the law is holy. Number two is because the priesthood that should help to make it to work is incompetent. And the incompetency of the priesthood is not because they are not doing something. Their incompetency is traced to the absence of life. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Ministry is done with spiritual authority, God's spiritual authority. You see, and authority in the kingdom is a product of life. Life in the kingdom is a product of priesthood. Let me come again. Ministry is done with authority. You don't force ministry. When people see where ministry is, they will know. And ministry is not activity. See, ministry is actually, in God's full intent, is an overflow of something that you are carrying inside. Are you seeing it now? So ministry is authority. People can feel it. They can see it. The impact can be felt in people and in territory. See, and the force that backs up that authority is life. The life is the life of God. So when there is life available, there is ministry available. Look at it. This is ministry. That ministry prospers as much as there is authority backing it. That authority is as potent as the life that is backing it. That life, the measure of life that is available is dependent on the priesthood. The reason why I'm just saying this thing is because the old covenant lacked the capacity to produce life. Are you seeing it now? And because there is absence of life, God cannot achieve anything outside of his life. You see it? God doesn't trust your own life. He doesn't trust your way. He doesn't trust anything from you. So he wants to do something in you, Instead of telling you to do it, allowing you to do it, leaving you to your own power and ability. No, he won't do that. What he will do is to put in you himself and his ability. What it means for you, for God to now walk in you and through you, is for you to tend to that thing. When you are tending it, just tend the life. When you tend the life, it's like a garden. When you tend it, it grows. And when it grows, it can cover everything. Nothing can withstand the advancement of the life of God within you. Are you seeing it? So God is confident 101% on the capacity of the life that he gave you. And the tending of that life have the ability to conquer everything that is coming from darkness. You see, the greatest enemy of the advancement of the project of God in organic sense in the life of men and through men is what we call death. According to the scripture, he said that the last enemy that will be judged and defeated is what? Death. This is not where I'm going, but I need to make this point. The death we are talking about is not just the death, the event. Okay. According to the scripture, there is death, the location. There is death, the event. There are, when the scripture speaks, you have to be intelligent enough to understand what he's saying. Just as I told you about Christ. Christ is a person, but he's also an office, but he's also an environment. In fact, he's an operating system. Many things you hear in the scripture, if you don't bend down, you will not exactly know what the Bible is saying. For example, when you also hear the word spirit, spirit is a person, but it's beyond a person, it's a realm. You have heard it, the realm of the spirit. Is it not true? But it's also beyond person and realm. Spirit is an operating system. It is based on that context of spirit being an operating system that the Bible said in the book of Galatians that the spirit warreth against the flesh and the flesh warreth against what? The spirit. It means that the flesh is not this body. That the flesh is a spiritual thing. For you to be able to contend with a spiritual thing, you have to be in a spiritual realm. It means that the flesh that you are fighting against, are you getting what I'm saying? The reason why I'm saying this thing is that there are people fighting the flesh. Monks have cut off their private part. Their heart was still lusting after women. It will mean that the flesh that is besetting them is not exactly this body. But the flesh takes advantage of the body to walk. Are you seeing it now? And that is why the Bible said, subject your body to the Holy Spirit. And then you will be servant to it. When you subject yourself to the flesh, you will be servant to the flesh. So this body is waiting for who you will serve. But the body is not the flesh. The flesh is a spiritual thing. If it is not spiritual, it can't contend with the spirit. This Bible said this spirit warreth against the flesh. Is it not true? And the flesh against the spirit. Where is the war taking place? In your house? It's in the spirit realm. That's the only place. Are you with me? That's the only place that spirits can make contact and engage each other. It also means that if you want to defeat the flesh, you can't defeat it in the physical realm. The flesh can only be defeated spiritually. That is why the Bible said that the weapons of our warfare are not what? So it takes spiritual things. Meanwhile, the manifestation of the propensities of the flesh can be seen in your body. But if you want to deal them and deal only with the body, you can't get results. And that is why discipline is not enough to deal with the issues of the flesh. They are very, very disciplined people. When the matter became too much, they forgot discipline. Your discipline is not when you are contending with a spirit. A young man met me and he said he has resisted masturbation for long. One day he was in a room, the thing came like anointing. What I'm saying is, I know, you know, people like us, we have the privilege of, I receive thousands of, on daily and weekly basis. Thousands! I try as much as I can to look up some, especially the serious ones. There are people that come and say, Apostle, how are you? Those ones are not serious. I will use them. But the people that will just tell me their challenge, I will check what I can do quickly concerning it. When you have up to 5,000 people to respond to daily, do you have time to be saying, Apostle, did you eat today? What's that thing? Apostle, thank you. What's that thing? If I love you so much, let me not go there. Let me not go there. So, I see many things. Somebody will come and meet you and say that he did 3 days dry fasting. Instead of breaking it with food, he broke it with masturbation. What would you answer that person? When you hear these things, you weep. What it will tell you is that there is a spirit involved. Is it not true? If it is not spiritual, that guy would have conquered that thing. There are several things you are suffering. There is a calculated strategic plan from darkness with entourage of demonic hosts to make sure you don't break free. I'm telling you now. Once you go on 7 days fasting, on the night of the... Check what I'm saying. It has happened to you. If you do night vigil, you pray all night, 6 hours. When you now sleep by 5:30 in the morning, succubus, a woman will come and sleep with you in the dream. Okay, I will advise you 2 things. Don't stop. The reason why that thing happened, you don't know your shape in the spirit. That thing that happened to you is a revelation of how decayed you are, but you are not aware. Are you seeing it now? Now, it took that amount of pressure, because that prayer you prayed for 6 hours is not normal. You have not done it before. You put pressure on certain things. It's like a nurse that is dressing your wound. You will have to open it first. And when you open it many times, it can smell. Is it not true? But just because it's smelling, do we cover it like that? For we to treat it, we need to what? We need to open it. So that process of opening, Satan can convince you that you are not making progress. There are several things Satan hid in your soul. As insurance package to make sure that you will never advance in your calling and destiny. Anytime you want to advance, he will open one of them. You move that, he will open this one. He will say, how can a man of God like me be suffering this kind of thing? And the day he wanted to happen is the day you decided to fast and pray till something changes. As you are fasting and praying, Satan is dealing, he's opening all kinds of things. Let me tell you what is happening. He is desperate. He wants to keep you there. And he wants to work on your mind to show you, to make you believe that your fasting did not work. To make you believe that that prayer is the reason why that thing happened. So you say, is this prayer I prayed that made these things to happen? There are people it happens to. You pray hard and things become harder for you. You now say, if I don't pray, it becomes easy. If I pray, it becomes hard. It's deception. Wait. It's deception. Satan, let me tell you what Satan is doing. You are the owner of this water. No, sit down, don't worry, because I will give you water to drink. Can you see me everywhere you are? This water is cooked, so I didn't come with it. You are the owner of this water, and you are trying to get your water. Get your water. Put your hand and try to get it. It's enough. It's enough. Easy. As you are trying to get it, Satan say, if we allow this man, he will collect his water. What do we do? And if we keep fighting with him, the way you are now fasting, you are fasting on a dangerous level. There is a way you pray and fast. It's only a matter of time. Nothing can stop you. The only thing can... Listen, anything that darkness brings can't stop you. The only way Satan can stop you is to make you comfortable. Listen to me. I know what I'm telling you. If Satan keep bringing bad things, you will keep praying more. So what he will do is say, what is the next strategy? They will go to the demonic strategy table. And they will check, what's the way forward? Where's the way forward? They say, make her life easier for her. But what they will do now? This is your water. They will now take small. I'll give you.
When you now drink the water, you say, Listen. When you drink the water, you say, this life is sweet. You now relax. Say, God, you are good. God, you are so good. God is not in that breakthrough yet. I want to tell the real thing, the real spiritual breakthrough has not come yet. That one Satan gave you is to stop you from doing what you are doing. He wants to make you believe that you have arrived. Are you seeing it now? Once you take this water, you reduce what you are doing. There is nobody that will not reduce. This water is to bribe you. Say after me, bribe. You have started hitting Satan. Boom, boom, boom. He said, how do we stop him? They say, bribe. The strategy is bribe. They now give you a bribe of small water. Boom, boom. You will now stop. That's what Satan does to many people. He will try to convince you that what you are doing is not yielding progress. I'm telling you, in case you don't know, I'm now telling you from my own experience. Anybody that will break into serious things in the spirit, as I've said it, you must know how to be consistent and persistent. There is no opposition that persistency cannot wear out. That is the meaning of the parable in the book of Luke chapter 18. It can wear it out. It can wear it. I can't stop. I have vowed my life to the altar. Why am I alive? I will keep praying. One day Satan came and brought all kinds of things, brought depression. If Satan brings depression on my life, he has known over time that his mistake. Because once I'm sensing those kind of things, do you know how I answer him? I will go on indefinite fasting. I will go on indefinite retreat. I'll just enter, I won't come out. I have done it for so many years that Satan said, if you touch him, you go on retreat. Satan is wise. You are the only one not. That man is wise. Oh, that man knows what he's doing. He's old. The Bible called him the ancient serpent, the ancient one. Sometimes for Satan to plan for you, he will go 300 years to your lineage and find out their weakness. That is how he will be able to forge a weapon that you can't survive. He knows that the weakness of the people in your lineage is women. He brought the black one. You dodged it. He brought the fair one. You dodged it. He brought the tall one. You dodged it. He brought the one that is big like this. You now look with one eye and say, blood of Jesus, and turn. Amen. Now, even though you escaped, Satan will say, he walked small. Bring like four. He's only one. You bring like. I'm telling you now. You go to office, somebody is there. Go to market, somebody is there. Anywhere you go, people are there. It seems as if they plan for you. I don't know if it has not happened to you. You are not intelligent in the spirit. Satan will position people everywhere. Anywhere you turn, people are willing. They are willing. Oh, Jesus. Amen. If it is not the Holy Spirit is your advantage.
Yes,
if not, that ancient serpent, leave it. God even told Satan, when you are dealing with Job, don't touch hell. If you leave Satan, he touch everything. He is both. Do you know that the power of Satan is not brute force? The man called Lucifer, from my studies of the scripture, his real power is not brute force, like brute force. There are other fallen angels that their power is brute force. According to the book of Genesis, his real power is what we call subtlety, cunningness, wisdom. Satan backed himself to contend with Jesus. When he came with Jesus, he knew that Jesus is a man of the scripture. He came with scripture. You don't know Satan, oh. If Satan wants to bind you, he can use scripture for you. Just because you are a man of the Bible, he will use Bible to put you in a place. You are bound, though, but it is Bible that bound you. You will say, I was reading Bible and God told me. It's Satan that told you. I know some people will be doubting what I'm saying. It's in your Bible. Satan came and said, is it not written? I said, what is this? So even Satan quote the scripture. So it's not every time that you heard something, say it's quoted in the scripture. Check who is speaking. Satan can quote the scripture, brother. He knows scripture enough that him and Jesus is quoting. He will quote for Jesus. Jesus will quote for him. You quote for Jesus. Satan backed himself against Jesus. Who are you? Lift up your hands. Pray for mercy. Pray for mercy. Hey! Somebody here, Satan marked you to deal with you, but God will show you mercy here now. What I'm saying is, in the category of, there is nobody to really speak for you in the spirit. You need a voice. I want to add my voice to that petition in the spirit. There is somebody here. Anytime Satan petitions you again, my voice will be added there so that you will be rescued. Yeah. Father, in the name of Jesus, every petition against every man in destiny here from the power of darkness, we nullify it in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You will see it. It will be manifest in the course of life. One of the reasons why people don't pass from one stage to another is that if you want to pass, they will petition you. Why should we give this man this? Why should we allow him to pass? They don't just allow people. It's physical, even physically, they don't just allow you to pass. There are several credentials and several things you have to present before they will open it for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm telling you what I know. 2019, you can be seated. 2019, I was called in a court in heaven. I was in a 3 days fast, and the discussion there is, why should we give this young man this? Why should we? I appeared in the court. They summoned me. I appeared. When I came there, I found out it's literal, like what happens in the natural. There were people on my side. There are people that are not on my side. And there are people that are just neutral. Listen to me. You need somebody to speak for you where you are not even aware. There are places that meeting concerning your destiny is taking place. You need somebody there. They told me, bring strong reasons. Bring proof. Why? I started seeking for strategy and wisdom, because that place, they don't talk too much. If you talk carelessly, you just notice that they send you back, and you might not go back there for 2 years. I know I'm saying this is literal. You will notice that you have not made progress, significant progress in your walk with God in the last 5 years. It means that you have not attended court. That's where people's progress is deliberated. That place is like Senate. Huh? In the university those days, when we finish school, before we'll be graduated, the graduating set will be presented to the Senate. The Senate will look through the name and stamp it and say, these ones are true. There is a Senate that decides on several upgrades liftings in the spirit, and many people has come there and their case was denied. These people in the natural, you will think that they will pass, but in the spirit they lack voice. Nobody to speak for them. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. In the places in the spirit where you need voice and you lack voice, you will receive help and you will be spoken for in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can be seated. The scripture said in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 that the old covenant had in itself a semblance of divine ordinances. It means, remember, chapter 10 said that the activities there is not the image, is the shadow. Is it not true? But chapter 9 is trying to tell us that even though it is the shadow, that there are activities there that captured within it divine ordinances. That even though it's a shadow, that if by the grace of revelatory power you can have insight into the very meaning of that shadow, you can see the things that God wants to say. For example, there is a denomination that carry something like this. They call it incense. They call it incense now. That is a shadow. Are you seeing it? But if by revelation you can enter into the meaning of that, for ministration to come to you, you have to enter into the reality of the meaning of that physical thing. Because the physical thing is just but a shadow. The reality is captured in the heavens. So the scripture said there that these physical things have inside of it divine, heavenly ordinances. If only we can enter by revelation, we can demystify the exact reality that is captured within the ordinances that Moses set out. Because the man that sent him said, build according to pattern. That means the things he received, he didn't receive it of man. It was a download from heaven. Moses, by revelatory power, was able to pipe him into heaven. And the things he downloaded, he brought it into this physical realm and mirrored it in ordinances, mirrored it in activities. So within that activity is something that is divine, held up in the heavens, such that if a man by the same revelatory power can pipe in into that thing that is physical, that thing that is a shadow, the reality can pop up from it. If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. That means we cannot totally disregard the things that was captured in that old covenant. Because in there, God wrote in a pattern. He wrote in a pattern the things that he actually want to be done. But because of the setup, the priesthood, the lack of infrastructure to power that kind of engagement, God kept it in the heavens, waiting for a day that will come that an infrastructure in the spirit will be built that have the capacity to carry the realities that was embedded in those shadows. Are you seeing it now? For everything that Moses did, even though God wanted to move, wanted to release himself, he was not able to do it because there is no structure that can carry those realities. It took the days of Christ for the structure to be downloaded from heaven. When the scripture spoke about Jesus, he said in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead, what? Bodily, not in the spirit. Where? Body. It means that for the first time we found out that within this physical realm, the realities of God can be captured and trapped in a man. Are you seeing it now? So our study now is to find out how Jesus was able to trap it. Are you seeing it? It means when the scripture said that Christ is the fulfillment of the law, it means that for the first time in a man, the things that God was trying to do through Moses was accomplished. Are you seeing it now? So Christ is the embodiment of all the labors of God. In Christ, God rested from his works. Are you seeing it now? In Moses, he was walking, walking, walking. And that was what the scripture said in the book of Hebrews chapter 10. He said, every year we come and walk again. Every year we come and walk again. He said, by that walking, we cannot achieve perfection. Are you seeing it now? In Christ, we achieved it once and for all. what God does now in the new covenant is to take of Christ and minister to you. The system through which there is a ministration from the tower of Christ to the tower of your heart is what we call priesthood. It is not just a normal priesthood. It is a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek. Because the scripture said that Christ, through the eternal spirit, offered himself once and for all. It means that the environment of the things of Christ is the spirit. Oh my God. The Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think from verse 12, it said, the Lord is that spirit. And the scripture making reference showed us exactly that the Lord that was spoken about there is Christ Jesus. So the Lord Jesus became spirit when? Because when he was physically here upon the face of the earth, even though he was able to live the way he lived, become who he is, every of those things was trapped within his person. So he cannot administrate organically. Even the people that followed him can only do as much as they can do as human. How do I know? He took Peter, James, and John to that mountain and told them, watch with me for 1 hour. The greatest prayer meeting that has taken place upon the face of the earth. Imagine Jesus tapping you physically and appearing. As a man of God, pray with me. You will just jump out. Is it not true? But you can't. They called Peter. Peter slept. Called John. He slept. Called the other man. He slept. That is when we found out that there is a law of the inner man. Even though Jesus was the one that called them to the feast, the greatest prayer, that is his greatest hour of need, this man cannot stand up for him. Something was wrong. We need to do away with that system. Are you seeing it? That is the challenge. Because even though Jesus was able to stand at Gethsemane and groan and sigh, there are depths in prayer. From the things that God showed me, there are 7 depths in prayer. Prayer is not prayed at the same depth. I'm not saying God cannot answer your prayer the way you are praying. Prayers are adept. Are you getting the point? The scripture said in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, he said that the earth groaneth and travaileth in pain till now. Creature and earth groaneth. That means if we meet the earth at its point of departure and depravity, we need to travel to the point where it is expending its energy. And the scripture said that the earth groaneth. So if a man want to deal with the things that is wrong with the earth, he has to travel by groaning. That's the only way you can meet earth at its energy. Are you seeing it now? The scripture said it. The earth groaneth, creature groaneth, hoping for the manifestation of sons. So when sons appear, they will appear. Are you getting the point? Huh? So, but the scripture said they grow. So if it is possible for us to enter there, we need to what? Grow. Listen to me. Are you getting the point now? So the old covenant trapped in itself several ordinances, and the scripture began to list many of them. There is a particular one that is there that I want to mention. Because when you look at that, you will find out that it is a summary of priesthood. God. Priesthood is king. Priesthood is everything. After everything Jesus was did, they called him the high priest of our calling. Listen to me. There are the finished works of Christ, but there are still ongoing work of Christ. There is what we call the heavenly ministry of the Christ. One of it is the high priestly ministry. Is it not true? So it means that Jesus delegated all the titles and picked up the high priestly. Are you seeing it now? Because that is the only way. Without priesthood, he can't mediate. Without priesthood, he can't intercede. Without priesthood, he can't stand in the gap. The scripture said we do not have a high priest that is not touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That means the only way that Christ can continue to interface and feel the burden in Zambia is if there is priesthood. Are you seeing it now? So when a man gives himself to priesthood, what God will do, what Christ will do, is that from his command tower in heaven, he will release upon you a little bit of the priesthood burden that he has over this land. Are you seeing it now? When you come down from that place, you say, I have a burden. have a burden. That burden is not your own. That burden is the burden of the Christ over the land, over the people. He just released a little bit of it to you. And when it was released to you, it takes priesthood to nurture it. So the high priestly ministry is the basis of our earthly priestly ministry. If you are with me, say amen. My God, be seated. Tell your curse. Standing at the back, there are two of you the Lord wants to hand a weapon. You see, several times what you call a weapon in the physical is not a weapon in the spirit. A man of God said anything in the hand of a spiritual man is a weapon. Anything. A young man came to contend with the warfare in his father's family. And he came with a knife, small knife. And when he came to war, a dog appeared. He will be doing the dog like this. The dog will be doing. That's when he found out that his weapon is not competent to handle the situation. Sometimes you are spending too much energy in that situation because your weapon is not competent. What you need is not to do more. What you need is new weapons. Two young men at that back. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, from heaven, we release weapons for them. Weapons, 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 weapons. Went to a prayer meeting in Lagos many years ago. A young man met me after the meeting. I said, man of God, I need to pray. He said, come here. He came. I hugged him. He went and prayed for 10 hours. That was the least. That was those days. Now. If you say you don't want to pray, I will drag you in the dream. You will see what I'm telling you. Some of you will start seeing me in your dream. And I'll be telling you, not just to pray, but how to pray. Now, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit taking the face of a witness that you can believe. One of my sons is in Michigan or Maryland. Maryland. USA. He was there. He was following us online like this. So one day he now went on YouTube and then he saw Apostle Abe and then he opened it. As you know, Holy Spirit can manipulate your way. The same way Satan can manipulate your path to fall into temptation. God can manipulate your path to fall into encounter. Lord, keep manipulating my leg to encounter. Hey, God. Yes. God can manipulate your leg to encounter. You didn't plan it, but you are there. The young man pressed. The one he saw, the title is Soul Travail. Soul Travail. What is Soul Travail again? All these people will be naming things and saying big, big things. You know, the last time you said that what I'm saying is big thing is the first time you heard it. When you enter into it, it will suck you in. You find out that the big word you had is not as big as the experience you will have. It will mean that the big word is not big enough to capture the experience. You don't even know what is utterance. Utterance can only flow with certain diction. If you don't use it, it will not pass the message. That's not what I'm here to tell you. When you are speaking, when I speak, sometimes, if I want to use a word, I will see like 7 options. It happens in milliseconds. That is why it's supernatural. I will see 7 options, synonyms. You can use either of those words, but the Holy Spirit will be pointing on only one. If you use another, you will lose the meaning. I mean, not human meaning. People can hear you and not get you. They can hear you, but they don't get you. Their hearts did not burn. There was no light in their heart. Their head grew big. You think you actually know a spiritual thing by knowing it in your head. You will be frustrated as a church goer. I have been in church for years. Before I was 15 years, I finished the Bible 2 times. It did not amount to anything. It was in my head. I was quoting it. During teenagers and children program, I will come. I will be saying, John chapter 1, verse 1. Bah, 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 bah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Well, it's not totally bad. It's
better than nothing. It's better than nothing. Huh? But is something, is something. It, at least it will shape your worldview. Yes, it will shape your worldview. It will form the environment of your thinking as a natural human being. In the spirit, they don't know you. That's why every pastor's child must be born again. Somebody came and asked, he said, since I'm a woman of God and my husband is a woman of God, if we give birth to our son, is it not? Are you seeing it now? What is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. What is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. When you are born again, you are born of the spirit from above. The one, your child you gave birth to was born of what? One day the Holy Ghost will still give birth to him. You can do it when he's 3 years. You can do it when he's 30 years. You choose. I don't care whether my son or my daughter say it's punishment. I don't care. If you are 3 years, you can pray in tongues. If you are 4, if leave them that cartoon they are watching, they can recite it. Is it not true? That cartoon, doesn't it sound like tongues? Yeah. It's the same thing. Listen to me. Reduce your walk. If the person speaks in tongues, at some point he will know God for himself early. Jesus was 12. He's already discussing with masters, doctors of the law. When I hear it, I say, why did I waste my life? I'm angry with myself. No, you enjoy. Be enjoying. Zambia, enjoy, enjoy. When you are 50, start. A man of God met me and said, you are doing this thing too much. Calm down. When you are 40 years, you start. Enjoy life. Imagine if I listened to him. He told me this thing about 10 years ago. Calm down, calm down.
Jesus is on the throne. Calm down.
How old are you?
23.
You're an old man. What is the history you have created in the spirit? If I'm you, I won't sleep this night. I will cry for my life. But the way I'm looking at you, you will eat and sleep. The way I'm... The guy has sat down. He was standing up before, but he sat down. Amen. If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Now, if you look at that scripture, you will find out that there are several differences between the a few things, not just the infrastructures, but I will list a few of them. Let me show you one. There is one that is called the golden censer. Are you there? Especially if you are using King James. Is it not true? Okay, the first infrastructure that is there, man of God, is the one that is called candlestick. The second one is the table. The third one, the true bread, which is called the sanctuary. After that, he said the second veil. Now, listen. He is speaking of this as the infrastructures of the holy place. Are you seeing it now? He is saying that the candlestick was an infrastructure of the holy place. This is before Jesus resurrected. Are you getting the point? As I will yet show you, I have several scriptures to convince you. The impact of the death and resurrection of Jesus is not just in the physical realm. It also impacted the infrastructures and their location in the layout of the tabernacle. For example, when Jesus died and resurrected, that candlestick was moved from the holy place to the holiest of all. By the time you come to the book of Revelation, you will find out that the voice that spoke to the church spoke from the midst of the seven candlesticks. Are you seeing it now? That means that there are infrastructures that were moved because their operational base cannot, where they are now, cannot be able to fully achieve what is in the heart of God. That anywhere you see the seven, that seven, it is the fullness of God manifested in the fullness of the church. So the candlesticks is representative of God's authority in the physical realm. And the authority of God in the physical realm is in the church. Are you seeing it now? So God, the church is the representation of God's authority in the physical realm. That authority is the candlesticks. And that is why when you get to the book of Revelation, the voice spoke from where? The midst of the candlesticks. So God speaks from the midst of the church. Are you seeing it now? The utterance of God is within the church. Now, it also means that God doesn't speak from everywhere. The prophetic voice of God is in a place where there is a candlestick. God called me many years ago. He told me, "Do you know how to set up a candlestick in your church? Without a candlestick, there are several things in the spirit that you cannot interact with." Pastor, I'm telling you what I know. Many years ago, my biological father is a pastor. He sent me to go and pastor a church. When I went to pastor the place, there was a pastor there. Something happened. He wasn't doing too well. So they sent me to go and, you know, balance up some things. When I went there, that place is like that book of Revelation chapter 2. He said, "I know you, where you are." Where you are is the seat. Another way, the reward is headquarters of Satan. That means there is a branch where Satan, but there is his headquarters, his seat. Pastors, see, my job is to demystify spiritual mysteries. Every location is not the same. There is a place you will be stand, even in the physical realm, to do ministry. It's a physical realm, but it is housed in the spirit.
physical realms can be hosted in the spirit, it means that that physical realm has potentials that are spiritual. Are you seeing it? But it's a physical realm. So when you come to that kind of place, you do ministry for 10 years, you can't have 3 members. They will grow to 20, reduce to 10, reduce to 5. Then from 5, you now level, do suya. I don't know. Do people have what is called suya in this? Aye! What's it called? It's a kind of meat that is, and then is both as if it's roasted and fried, but it's not fried, it's roasted. When you eat, aye! So when you do suya, people gather. So the members will increase. When there is no more suya, they go. You do worship service, invite big worship ministers, they come. After some time, that demon, that prince in the spirit will come and scatter the church. There is a spirit that scatters the church. The man will be rebelling. He will do it for 40 years. Put him 40 years in ministry and come out with nothing. There is a spirit that is robbing you of your labors. What I'm telling you, I know. I was born in church. There is a spirit that used to visit us in our church in the village. It comes like an old, what do you call female, male chicken? There is this native chicken we have in our place. Not Chicken Republic chicken. Oh, that Chicken Republic chicken is not original chicken. The native chicken cock is called cock. It's not chicken, it's cock. Village chicken, the one that do, oh God, everywhere will be shaking. In the night, listen. Maybe, when is the pastor's session? Saturday morning, I will show you people some things. This is not the law of this church spiritually. So when angels want to enter as spirits, they will follow where the door is, wherever it is. Even if you build wall here, they are not restricted by that wall. They will follow the only place that is open for them. They don't make your mistake. They only follow one place to enter and follow one place to leave. Huh? They walk within the environment of the opening that the spirit realm has granted them. We call it portals. If they miss their portal, they can't get back to where they came from. Are you seeing it? You are the one that can do, oh, shout fire. Angels, they will be walking. This is how we came. If they are going, they will go this way. Are you seeing it? So pastor came and closes this place, they will still be passing here. The same thing with demons. So we came and built a physical church building. But the ancient deity that was there, represented in that cockerel, ancient, very old. Very old. After some moons, it will come and pass. And is the road, the part of that cockerel is the altar. We have built altar there. And we are saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. The thing will be walking. It will pass through the altar. One day, the day we knew was the day when my mother was doing night vigil and she was sleeping on a, there is a couch close there. No, their chair used to be very big like this. They now keep it on the altar. Those days that they used to keep on the altar, so they kept, my mother was resting, and then the cock now came and was passing. It so happened that my mother was on the way. You know, I don't want to use you. He now landed on her. Bah! Here on the shoulder. When the cock with one of the feet landed on her, her life was leaving her. She could not even shout Jesus. She was saying, blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. Blood of Jesus. They have not, when you see real powers, this one is shouting, Jesus, in a shout Jesus 7 times, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When you meet some demon, huh? If they tell you to shout Jesus, we do. You can't shout Jesus. There are even ones you will manage and shout Jesus. They will tell you, nothing happened to me. I'm telling you what, and you will shout Jesus fire. They will say, the fire is not doing anything to me now. It's not worse walking. It's in the spirit. If there is no fire in your heart, there will be no fire in your mouth. The fire in your mouth is not potent. It's the one in the heart. Sometimes you can look at somebody like this. You did not say fire. The person will say, fire is burning me. But you did not say fire. But you say, receive fire, fire, fire. The person is saying, if I don't fall now, this man of God will be frustrated. Let me help his ministry. It's true now. I'm telling you what I've seen. My friend was in a meeting. The man of God was laying hands. Now he laid hands on somebody, was twisting the neck. The person holding, that is Joshua, came and told my friend that they were twisting. Told him, if you don't fall, this service will not end up. You need to fall so that service will end. Because the man has determined that he must fall. So if you don't fall, service will not. Just do like this. Just do like this. Do like this. I know. No, just do it. The guy just fell, and the man of God said, "You see, the power is moving." Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
I need to round up. Tomorrow we continue. God can do something eternal in a moment. It will take you several months to unpack what you actually received. Now, looking at this scripture now, we have made progress. The scripture now went further and said, now, we have looked at the infrastructures of the holy place. Is it not true? Now, let's move further. We went to outer court, holy place. What's the next one now? Holiest of all. Let's see one or two, and then we'll round up. Now, verse 3 said, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer. Say after me, golden censer. Now, there is a problem with that translation. Let's cross-reference that scripture in the book of Leviticus chapter 16, verse 12. Can somebody quickly read for me? Leviticus chapter 16, verse 12. Let's cross-reference that scripture to help you to understand, because there is a profound statement I want to make. Remember what I said, man of God. I said that when Jesus, in the new covenant, as a result of the death and resurrection of Jesus, there are several inductees into the holiest of all. There were infrastructures of the holy place that entered the holiest of all. And I told you people that one of them is the candlestick. Is it not true? Another one is the altar of incense, representing the altar of prayer. Listen, what I'm saying is profound. The real prayer that can make you, remember where we started. We started by saying that the image is the target of God, and for God to furnish the image in your heart to the point that you have retained perfection, he has to lay hold on the things of that image. And the things of the image is found within the environment of the Christ, because the image of God is Christ. Are you getting the point?
It means that the fundamental activity of God as it pertains to building men after his image, which is the first purpose of priesthood, can only be achieved within the environment of the spirit. It means that the first court representing the physical realm cannot capture it. The second court representing your soul cannot capture it. The third court, which is the holiest of all, representing your spirit, is the only one that can what? Capture it. So, God knowing that these infrastructures are grossly important in achieving the business of bringing men to the image, and the environment of the building that can achieve this image now is the spirit. Are you seeing it now? He went to the holy place and inducted a few. The two that I've mentioned now is the lampstand and the altar of incense. Brought it into the holiest of all. The question now is, we have explained what the altar, what the menorah, the lampstand represents. Is it not true? It represents the church. It means that the church is born spiritually. Are you getting the point? I told you people that the church is not a physical thing. The church is mystical, is in the spirit. As a matter of fact, the church is the body of the heavenly man. Oh my God. The scripture said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it said that the first man was earthy because it was a product of the earth. But the last man was the Lord from heaven. That means the first man was an earthly man, and the last man is what? The heavenly man. Say after me, the heavenly man. So we are components of that heavenly man. The church of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, is the vessel that the heavenly man has possessed from his office. Remember, on the day of Pentecost, that office was activated. Is it not true? So because of that office that was activated, God can now walk in the body. So from that office, he is now filling the body. The scripture said, being joined to the head, we are now filled with the fullness. Are you seeing it now? We join to the head, then the head fills us. As he's filling us, he's expanding. Follow me now. The second thing is, this Hebrews calls it the censer. Do you know why? The translators are struggling. They are struggling because their understanding of the layout of the tabernacle. Remember, they said second veil, holiest of all, and this, the altar of incense is there. But their understanding of the layout is that the altar of incense is in the holy place. Are you seeing it? So instead of representing it exactly as altar of incense, they called it the censer, because the censer is actually in the holiest of all. Follow me now. But when you cross reference in the book of Leviticus chapter 16 verse 12, can somebody quickly read for me so that I will make progress? Yes.
And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, bring it within the veil.
Now, two things is happening here now. First thing that I want you to establish is this. What the scripture is speaking about in the book of Hebrews is that altar of incense. In Leviticus, it was outside. Are you seeing it now? You go and feel incense. That's why they called it incense. Because when you feel incense in the holy place, you take it inside. Because the man that mentioned Hebrews said that he's the holiest of all. We know that when the incense is filled, it can enter the holiest of all. But what we know, according to what is in the book of Leviticus, is that the altar of incense is in the holy place. But the writer of Hebrews correctly represented what is prevalent in the new covenant. And that is this, that the altar of incense has actually shifted from the holy place to the holiest of all. The altar of incense representing the prayer ministry and the priesthood ministry. Are you seeing it now? For me to prove it further with for you,
because I don't have time now. The scripture was telling us the day that Gabriel came and met Zechariah. Are you with me? The scripture said he encountered him when he was, he said in the time of prayer, it was his cause to offer incense. Are you seeing it now? So Zechariah was offering incense when? The time of prayer. So it means that the time of prayer is the time of incense. So that altar of incense, at the instance of the breaking of the veil, it became an inductee of the holiest of all. It means that the prayer that can build a man after the image of God is the prayer in the spirit, from the spirit. That is the advent of speaking in tongues. Because the first purpose of speaking in tongues, according to the scripture, it was James, am I correct, or Jude? He said, building yourselves in your most holy faith. Who? He said, building up yourself. That word building up is oikodomio. Oikodomio. That's the Greek word. It simply means construction, edify. One coach. How do they build? They have blocks here, right? One block after another. So the man that prays in the spirit, the first thing he is doing is to build coaches. When you pray deep in the spirit, it means that you are growing in stature. And the target of your stature is to meet up with the image. And the sign that a man has gotten the image is that you will retain a perfection. So when there's somebody, because people has asked me, this 6 hours prayer, why do you need to pray for 6 hours? Is God deaf? They don't know. Anytime somebody asks that question, you just know that the person is unintelligent in priestly matters. When a priest speaks, you will know, because he knows what we are achieving. Those people summarize prayer and the target of prayer as baptism. Say, my own, if I pray for 5 minutes, God does a miracle. You are a carnal man. Because the only proof you have that God is working in your life is physical. The proof that God is working is inside, is transformation. It is that we met you here, and by the time we came next year, you have grown so large in the spirit that you can accommodate God's activity in the whole territory. There are people, their altar, their personal altar is no more personal altar. Their personal altar is a territorial altar. So if God wants to speak to the territory, he speaks to their altar. That man is not normal. He has traveled and journeyed in the spirit. That's why I labor. I want to become like that. That's how Abraham did everything that he did. When Abraham comes in a place, because the encounter that Jacob had was as a result of the priestly ministry of Abraham. Now, the Bible called Abraham prophet, and I was asking, when did Abraham prophesy? I couldn't find it. But the Bible called him a prophet. Being a prophet, I said, what is the first sign of a prophet? I checked the scripture. I found out that every prophet is... Now, listen. Every prophet is an intercessor. So if you are a prophet and you are not interceding, you are wasting it. Now, every intercessor might not be a prophet, but every prophet is what? An intercessor. That is the purpose, the ultimate purpose of the prophetic ministry. Why will God show you something when you are not going to do anything about it? That is why Lot was in Sodom and God left him even as a child of God and went to Abraham in another city far away and began to show him what he wants to do in Sodom. Why? Even though he was there, he was not a priest. He is not rising to the buildings of God. God will tap him in the night and say, give me 2 hours. He said, God, tomorrow, the burden will lift. And go and meet another person in another city. That man lacks the capacity to carry the burdens of God. The project of God in the territory will continue to be infantile. The reason is because the men that he disposed burden to, they left it to die. The pregnancy that God gave you was aborted because you don't know how to keep it. Are you getting the point? There is a gestation period and there is a posture you need to take in the spirit. Because you are a pregnant woman. There is a posture you take. You don't live like others. You don't live like others. Are you getting the point? The day that you will give birth, people will begin to shout. They did not know that there were days you passed through the birth pangs. That's my calling, man of God. bedpans travail, that things will be bettered from the spirit. The spirit can give birth. The spirit can give birth. Until you arise and say, God, I yield you my womb. I want to be a priest of God. Then intelligences will start coming from heaven. Anytime you do it, God will give you one instruction to test your commitment and conviction. He will tell you, do this one, do this, start like this. And many times when they start with people, when it's either they can't continue or when they see small result, they stop. Who told you? That result is encouragement. It's not to stop. God wants to encourage you, to tell you that what you are doing is correct. You now stopped. That is the problem of humanity. That is why many times, for God to properly use you to do mighty things, he will take your eyes off the result and be showing you only the labor. The labor. You will be seeing only, because the day your eyes see the result, you will stop laboring. You will say, we are here now. When we used to pray, when I was at your level, I used to pray. Lord, may I not get there? May I not get where I mature bigger than prayer? Listen, let me tell you. Jesus graduated from miracle working ministry to prayer ministry. Intercessory ministry. The Bible said he ever lived to intercede. Holy Ghost interceding. What are you doing as pastor? Jesus left what we call ministry to go back to heaven and focus on prayer ministry. And people are leaving prayer ministry to run to another one. Do you know something about prayer? It doesn't die. Even if you die, your prayer doesn't die. Men that pray, their days are archived in the heavens. One day a man will stumble on it and something will open, a portal. That's what happened with Abraham. The Bible said that he littered the whole of Padan Aram with altars, because Abraham is a man of the altar. Are you getting the point? I'm not hearing you. The altars, listen, that Abraham hewed out, that was the altar that Jacob was moving. He was stumbling